The House Secondary Education and Career Development Subcommittee meeting will now come to order. Missy, would you please call the roll? Members, remember to turn on your microphones for the roll call.
Chair McLean.
Here.
Vice Chair Schoof.
Here.
Ranking Member Bush.
Here.
Representative Altman is excused. Representative Andrade. Representative Benjamin. Representative Barrero.
Here.
Representative Fisher.
Here.
Representative Maney.
Here.
Representative Mello.
Here.
Representative Onfroy. Representative Rizzo.
Here.
Representative Robinson.
Here.
Representative Sabatini.
Here.
Representative Tuck.
Here.
Representative Valdez. Representative Woodson.
Here.
Representative Yarborough.
Here.
Thank you, Missy. Let the record show that a quorum is present. Members and audience members, please silence all your electronic devices. Be recognized by the chair before addressing the committee or the presenters. Make sure your microphones are on and on after you've been recognized and when voting on a bill. Members, we have several bills that we're going to hear this morning. We've got some moving parts because some members are having to present in some other committees, and so we won't necessarily be sticking strictly to the published agenda order. However, our first bill we'll take up will be by Vice Chair Schoof, and that's House Bill 951. 991, thank you. That'll be House Bill 991. Vice Chairman, you are recognized to explain House Bill 991.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, members. The number one question asked by companies looking to relocate to the state of Florida, if they want to expand their operations or just start a new business, is where are the trained employees? Where is my workforce coming from? Post-COVID, we've seen a tremendous drop in our employment numbers, and as a small business owner myself, I can tell you it's my number one struggle. This bill seeks to address that. This bill provides a tool for state and technical colleges to rebuild and expand Florida's trained workforce. Currently, about 5.5% of students enrolled in the Florida college system are from out of state, but historically, over 93% of the system's graduates remain in Florida and contribute to the state's economy, both as a worker and a consumer. This bill enables Florida's colleges to more effectively adapt to the characteristics of a modern and mobile workforce, ensuring that Florida remains competitive in the talent recruitment marketplace. It allows the college system to offer in-state tuition to out-of-state students so long as the programs they are going after meet or are listed on the credential review committee, meaning if you have a shortage of nurses in Orlando and the nursing profession is listed on this review committee, then your local colleges would have the option of offering in-state tuition to out-of-state students. That is the bill.
Thank you, Vice Chair Schoof. Members, do you have any questions on the bill? Any questions on the bill? There is one amendment. Representative Schoof, you are recognized to explain amendment, barcode 718411.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This amendment clarifies that the identification of unmet workforce needs ties back to the occupations identified in the Labor Market Estimating Conference, also known as a Credential Review Committee that we created in House Bill 1507 last year. It also requires that the school district and Florida college system institutions prioritize the enrollment of local students over out-of-state students, and it requires that the institutions report on the success of the program back to the legislature. That is the amendment.
Thank you, Representative. Members, do you have any questions on the amendment? Any questions on the amendment? Any appearance cards on the amendment? There are no appearance cards. Members, is there any debate on the amendment? Is there any objection to the amendment? Show the amendment adopted without objection. Members, we're back on the bill as amended. Are there appearance cards on the bill? There are. Marty Coley, Gulf Coast State College Foundation, waves in support. Those are all of the appearance cards. Members, we are in debate. Is there any debate? There's no debate. Rep Schoof, you are recognized to close.
Wave close.
Thank you, Representative Schoof. Missy, please call the roll.
Representatives Andrade, Benjamin,
Here.
Benjamin? Barrero?
Yes.
Bush?
Yes.
Fisher?
Yes.
Mainey?
Yes.
Mello?
Yes.
Umfroy? Rizzo?
Yes.
Robinson?
Yes.
Sabatini?
Yes.
Schoaf?
Yes.
Tuck? Valdez? Woodson?
Yes.
Yarborough?
Yes.
Chair McLean?
Yes. By your vote, House Bill 991 will be reported favorably. Congratulations, Representative. Members will now move to House Bill 609 by Representative Barrero. Representative Barrero, you're recognized to explain your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. With your permission, I'll present from the rostrum back here.
I'm sorry?
With your permission, I'll present from the rostrum back here.
Okay.
All right. Mr. Chair, this bill creates a center of excellence for charter school best practices that are grounded in evidence-based research and high-impact pedagogy. This bill creates an institute called the Center for Charter School Innovation to create a sponsor evaluation framework for drafting best practices to be utilized by charter school sponsors in their supervision of charter schools and for charter schools to apply to become charter schools. It provides technical support and training or technical assistance to charter school sponsors on the review of charter school applications and renewals. It also provides a center for research on best practices with national standards and policy related to charter schools. That is a bill, Mr. Chair. There is one amendment.
Thank you, Representative Barrero, for that explanation. Are there questions on the bill? Any questions on the bill? There are no questions. There is one amendment. Representative Barrero, you're recognized to explain amendment barcode 266485.
Mr. Chair, to avoid duplication, the amendment removes the $1 million appropriation for the Florida Institute for Charter School Innovation established at Miami-Dade College. Basically, the appropriation for the institution has already been filed as a separate appropriation project.
Thank you, Representative Barrero. Members, do you have any questions on the amendment? Any appearance cards on the amendment? Is there debate on the amendment? Is there objection to the amendment? Show the amendment adopted without objection. We're back on the bill as amended. Are there appearance cards on the bill? Alice Niera, Foundation for Florida's Future. Waves in support, thank you. Philip Suderman, Americans for Prosperity. Thank you. Christian Kamara, Florida Charter School Alliance. Thank you, appreciate it. There are no other appearance cards. Members, we are back in debate. Is there any debate? Any debate on the bill? Seeing none, Representative Barrero, you are recognized to close.
I will waive close, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Barrero. Missy, please call the roll.
Representative Zandrotti? Benjamin?
Yes.
Barrero?
Yes.
Bush?
Yes.
Fisher?
Yes.
Mainey? Mello?
Yes.
Umfroy? Rizzo?
Yes.
Robinson?
Yes.
Sabatini?
Yes.
Schoaf?
Yes.
Tuck? Valdez? Woodson?
Yes.
Yarborough?
Yes.
Chair McLean?
Yes.
11 yeas.
Thank you, Missy. Members, by your vote, HB 609 will be reported favorably. Congratulations, Representative. Members, now we will move to House Bill 865 by Representative Rizzo. Representative, are you going to do the dais?
I'd like to present yeah. From
up. Absolutely. Representative Rizzo, you're recognized to explain your bill when you're ready.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, Chair, Vice Chair, Ranking Member, and members. HB 865 relating to charter schools. This bill will allow a new commission to be made at the Department of Education, which can take applications and approve charter applications for new charter schools. This will also establish language that defines the intent that funding levels should be comparable to students in traditionally run or to traditionally run schools. It can also require additional financing reporting from the LEA or the district if the charter is identified as having deteriorating financial condition as defined in statute. It also provides language to ensure that charter schools that are fulfilling the commitment of their charters and of their students may not be closed without cause. And that is the bill.
Thank you, Representative Rizzo, for the explanation. Members, are there questions on the bill? Representative Robinson, any questions? You're recognized.
Thank you, Chair. And Representative Rizzo, I have two questions. My first question is just for kind of clarity. With this new charter commission, it's stating, the way I read it, is that they will have full authority in approving the applications. However, the school board or the superintendent would have still the responsibility of overseeing it without any intake or any say in the actual application component, correct?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Representative. Actually, yes, to that extent, yes, that this would be an alternate authorizer that the charter operator can go to, but they can still go to the LEA for the approval process if they wish. Yes, the LEA still would have oversight as to what their specific roles are in statute. Absolutely, yes.
And then my next,
you recognize for follow-up.
My next question had to do with the, it appears that in this language, it took out the part of good cause. As the statute is written right now, a LEA or the school, the person that's over the LEA, they have a right to dismiss or get dismiss this charter school with good cause. But I believe that that is now being taken out. The only way they would be able to do it is for financial reasons, something like that.
You're recognized.
Representative, the LEA may still revoke the charter if anything goes awry, if anything is according to statute goes awry, absolutely they still could. What this does is solidify that there must be good cause for it. In other words, it cannot be revoked because of say politics or capriciousness, that there must be good cause, and we're basically drilling down and trying to really solidify and define what that is.
Follow-up?
A follow-up, yes.
So you're saying that they can revoke it, but they just have to justify it or explain what their reasoning is. Is that what you're saying?
You're recognized.
Yes, they still must, absolutely, but that there must be good cause for it. And again, statute is very clear as to what defines that good cause.
Okay, thank you.
Representative Benjamin, any question?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Representative Rizzo, for the bill. I do have a question with regards to the funding language in it. The way that I see that, it's really just a resolution. It doesn't have any actual teeth in with regards to require such funding. Is that correct?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Chair. And if I might just ask staff for a bit of clarification on that.
Sure, absolutely.
Thank you. Thank you for the question. It establishes legislative intent to do so. It is not changing it at this moment.
I can ask for a follow-up.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mm-hmm. So just for clarity for the folks in the room, that means that it's not something in which the legislator can enforce. It is just us saying that that's what we would like to see happen.
You're recognized.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Representative Woodson, for a question or two.
Yes. Thank you, Chair. And thank you, Rep. Rizzo, as well. I know we have discussed some issues that I had, and you had clarified some of them for me. But one question that I have, I know that also the bill provides an appeal process for decision of the commission, right? You have that in the bill. Does the school district also have an appeal process for charter schools approved without consent?
Recognized.
Thank you, sir. Representative, if you could just be a little more clear, approved without consent?
Yeah, because the commission, you know, you do have an appeal process in there.
Yes.
And it speaks to denial or failure to act on an application. But I want to know, does the school district also have an appeal process for charter school that would be approved without any consent? Because they are legally responsible to oversee the charter schools that would be approved by the commission.
You're recognized.
Thank you, sir. No, the if the school has been approved, if the charter's been approved, it has been approved. In other words, the LEA has to accept this and begin its role of responsibility and coexistence with it.
And that's where I have a problem with it. If they are legally responsible for anything, why wouldn't they have an appeal process, you know, for a school that is approved? Because even though the commissioner approved it, I think they should be involved in the process. Because if I'm legally responsible for something, then I should have a way to, you see what I'm saying? Do you see what I'm getting to? The key word is legally. And if I'm legally responsible for something, then I should have a say into what's going on.
Representative Rizzo, you're recognized.
Thank you, Representative Woodson. And I can see your point, but to that I would say it's something akin to perhaps driver's licenses. Driver's licenses are approved around the state according to one uniform code of statute. And so then if someone is stopped, they have a legal authority wherever that county may be as to, well, listen, you broke the law, you know, but basically you have a driver's license and you have to follow the laws within that county because they're approved by the state. It's regulated by the state. Same process here. The application is exactly the same. The standards are exactly the same throughout all 67 counties. So having an alternate authorizer doesn't change anything with respect to the benchmarks that those applications, what those charter providers must meet in order to have that charter approved. What we're saying here, and I think really what it is there's two processes when it comes to having a charter school approved. One is going through the approval process, which basically is, do you meet the benchmarks? Do you meet the standards by which a charter must be approved or shall be approved? Once that's done, the oversight of it is in a totally different realm. And that is typically, again, amongst each 67 LEA or possibly the consortiums, the small consortiums that we have around the state. What they do is they actually look to make sure that everything is being followed as far as statute and rule as to the operation of that charter school.
Last question.
Follow up?
Yeah, the last question that I have. Was there an issue with the process that is in place now? What was the rationale for wanting to implement a commission as opposed to the system that you have in place now?
You're recognized.
Thank you, sir. Representative, we have a lot of charter schools in Florida. Florida really has been the leader among the 50 states with this particular segment of choice education. And I can tell you as one that has reviewed several, not for LEAs, but on my own, who has written several applications and gone through the defense process of those, I can tell you that this is extremely taxing on district personnel. And basically, the process is a district, in this case, let's say Leon County Schools, gets an application, and they've got to take staff that works for Leon County Schools and ask them, hey, you need to take this portion of the these applications, however many there may be. There may be one, there may be none, there may be 50. in any given year. And what they've got to do in a very small window of time, this staff, and it's several staff members, have to go in and review their respective sections of these applications. So imagine, if you would, that you are a curriculum specialist for language arts, and it is September and October, and you have a deadline, a looming deadline, to get these in. You've also got the responsibility of whatever your charge is within your school district and your office. So all of this is at the same time. What this does is this allows for another body to be able to do this that isn't necessarily assigned responsibilities of overseeing children, overseeing staff within a school system. So that's what I see, is that this is an opportunity to be able to say, we're not going to tax the school system so much and their personnel by having them go through sometimes, you know, and it is a part of our process. It is a cumbersome review process.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome. Representative Valdez, any questions?
Thank you, Chair, and good morning. Pardon my tardiness this morning, sir. Rep Rizzo, thank you very much for having spoken to me yesterday a little bit on this. And what I'm concerned about, and my question is that for counties such as mine that is growing, and is specifically in South County, where there's not a lot of infrastructure in place and things of that nature. So imagine if there is a charter school that maybe has possibly 100 kids or so in there, and there's still land, and all of a sudden they begin to expand, and the infrastructure is not in place. Can we work on some sort of language to be able to help growing counties be able to manage the growth and have a better planning, if you will, so that we can stop some of the sprawl and growth without the infrastructure? I'll give you an example. There's one in my district. It's a phenomenal charter school. It's Henderson Hammock. And there's a two-lane highway or road. Actually, it's not even a highway. It's just a two-lane road that goes into the school, and it gets backed up. So individuals that are trying to get to Line Ball, which is a much larger road, it can't cross over to the other because they're going to have oncoming traffic.
Representative Valdez, is there a question?
I'm getting there. So the question is, what can we do to help districts like ours that are growing?
You're recognized.
Thank you, sir. And Representative Valdez, thank you for speaking to me about your concerns. Specifically, I think if anyone wanted to look at it, it's on page 13 of the bill. And actually, we have an amendment that may take care of that. And after that, again, if you still have some concerns with that, we will still, I guarantee you that we will still work together to make sure that some of these infrastructure needs and impact needs are met.
Representative Benjamin, question?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mm-hmm. I want to speak to the concern that Representative Woodson had with regards to appealability. Right now, other than the school districts, what other entity is able to approve a charter school?
You're recognized.
Currently in the state of Florida, none.
Aren't universities and colleges able to approve charter schools?
They are.
Chair, thank you, I apologize. Yes, I'm getting confused with something else that's going on. Yes. Currently, they can, but it is extremely limited in what they can do.
And if a university or college approves a charter school, who has the oversight for that charter school? Is it still a school district?
Yes, sir, the LEA in this case.
And is there currently an appeals process for when a university or college approves a charter school?
Yes, sir, it's still the same appeals process that is open to any and all of the authorizers or whatever operator goes to any of the authorizers.
So how does what you're currently asking for in this bill, how does it change any of that?
You're recognized.
It wouldn't change the appeals process. What it does is it would amend or offer another choice for the operator to go and ask for an approval. Part of what goes on, Representative, with this, it's interesting because there is, when you're going through the review process for an application, there is a set, as I said, of benchmarks. So that is an objective component of it. However, having gone through the process several times, I can tell you that then there is a subjective process. And very often, and basically it's a vote. And I have seen charter operators who have had applications that meet every standard objectively, and yet for whatever reason, have been voted down and not approved. And so this basically offers another choice for operators to go to perhaps where there is, again, what I talked about with Representative Woodson, maybe there is no capriciousness, maybe there is no politics involved in it, and it is maybe seen as much more of a transparent process.
Mr. Chair?
Follow up?
Mm-hmm. Yes. So maybe I can help bring this all together. Currently, a charter can be approved by the LEA. It can be approved by a state university or college. And if this is approved, it can then be approved by this commission. Currently, if that charter application is denied by any of those entities, they have an appeal process, correct?
Yes, sir.
And there's no process by which the denying entity can override that approval.
You recognize?
No, sir, not override. They can still go and testify and basically give a justification as to why they denied it, but there would be no overriding of that appeals.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Members, any other questions? Seeing none. Representative Rizzo, there are two amendments. Members, there are two amendments for the bill. Representative Rizzo, you're recognized to explain amendment barcode 045823.
Thank you, Chair. And if I could just get my... That is... Thank you, sir. This amendment would remove from the bill the provision that requires the additional discretionary 1.5 millage to be part of a school district's operating discretionary millage levy. It also authorizes members of a committee formed by designated by the charter school's governing board to attend meetings in person or through the use of communications media technology. It would provide for that any property utilized by an approved charter school is exempt from ad valorem taxes. It adds that any facility or land owned by a Florida college system, institution, or university, similar public institutional facilities, and any facility recently used to...
Representative Rizzo,
yes, sir.
I think you have talking points for your next amendment that you're on. Can you clarify?
So that would be two. Thank you. Okay. I got it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Sorry, sir.
No worries. Thank you.
This amendment provides an interlocal agreement in or ordinance that imposes a greater regulatory burden on charter schools than school districts, or which prohibits or limits the creation of a charter school, is not enforceable. It provides that school district interlocal agreements may also be used by the charter schools, and it provides the right to bring an expedited action, including injunctive relief, if this section were to be violated by a public official or employee or by the local governing body. It also provides for the award of attorney's fees and court costs for a party that receives declaratory relief.
Thank you, Representative Rizzo. Members, do you have questions on the amendment? Representative Robinson, in question.
Thank you, Chair. And thank you, Representative Rizzo. My question is with the interlocal agreement. If the charter school has an agreement or interlocal agreement, would the regular public school be able to use it have the same benefits as they would?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Representative. That That wouldn't occur. The county interlocal agreements would supersede anything that the charter school has. So basically the school system would have access or any sort of a benefit of the interlocal agreement.
You recognize for a follow-up.
So maybe not interlocal. Okay, so maybe other agreements. So they have, so I guess with this, what you're doing is that the charter school will take advantage of interlocal agreements that the public school has. I guess my question is referencing agreements or arrangements that the charter school may have. Would the public school be able to take advantage of those?
Recognize.
I believe that it would, basically account for a very even playing field for charter schools, which are public schools and traditional public schools, thereby not changing any sort of access or any sort of benefit that the students going to either one would.
Any other questions? Representative Benjamin, you're recognized for a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to kind of tidy that up because I'm not quite understanding. So currently, charter schools get the benefit of interlocal agreements with the county because they are part of the public school system. And vice versa, if the charter school was to enter into an agreement with another entity, would then the school system be able to assert any privileges as it relates to that contract that they have with some other party?
You're recognized.
Thank you. As I understand it, Representative, what it would do, basically it would allow for a charter school to be able to have the same benefit that the public school does. The public schools already have these benefits. What it would allow is for the charter schools to have the same benefit.
You reckon that? Hey, representatives, we do have a couple of folks that are signed up to speak who can probably give us some real life examples of some interlocal stuff and back and forth, but you're certain, Representative Benjamin, you're recognized.
And if that's the case, that I greatly appreciate it. I realize that you may not be a subject matter expert in this particular our area. I'm just trying to clarify that is there a benefit for which the charter schools who are public schools don't get that traditional schools currently do as it relates to these agreements?
No, sir, they don't.
Thank you. Members, are there any other questions? Appearance cards. I do have an appearance card. Edward Briggs, Litz Preparatory School.
Excuse me. Good morning, committee members. Edward Briggs representing Lutz Preparatory School, which is an independent charter school based out of Tampa, Florida. I know Representative Valdez knows it very well. So thank you, Representative Rizzo, for this great bill, and really thank you for bringing forth this amendment. Lutz Prep for the past 2 years is a charter school, like I said, in Tampa, Florida, and they've been trying to go through an expansion project to expand on their current site. Unfortunately, to expand on their current site, they are on septic. And to be able to expand, they would have to add another septic tank. However, their current site would not call for the allowance of an additional septic tank to go on. So their only two options that they could actually go to would be to connect into wastewater or to build a little treatment plant on site, which we know the treatment plant on site would probably not make it through our land use with all the neighbors around. The problem is with us for connecting to wastewater, we are outside what's called the urban service boundary. We're in the rural connection area. So what happens is, with development service at the Hillsborough County Commission, we are not allowed, per that, to connect to wastewater, which is only a mile away. Our school is willing to pay for it. We have the funds to do it. However, there is an interlocal agreement between the county and the Hillsborough County School District that allows, in extraordinary circumstances, for a public school, as they deem it, a traditional public school, to connect to wastewater outside the urban service boundary in a rural area. Development Services has looked at us and said, we are not a public school and we are not party to that agreement. And the Hillsborough County School District has refused to allow us to, has refused to offer any support to clarify that we are a public school. So what this amendment would do would basically clear up what is already in current law that says under 1002.33, you can't treat a charter school any differently than a public school. This would clarify that we are party to that interlocal agreement. We are a public school, as the legislature has already said, and would potentially allow us to have this expansion project, which right now we're in a catch-22 where we can't move forward or backwards.
Thank you for that explanation and the example, Mr. Briggs. And members, I'll allow a little bit of that. Do you have a question specifically after that explanation? Thank you for your testimony.
You're welcome. Thank you, Chair.
Oh, sorry. Alice Neera, Foundation for Florida's Future, waves in support. Thank you. That's it. That's everyone we have signed up to speak on the amendment. Is there debate on the amendment? Is there any objection to the amendment? Show the amended amendment adopted without objection. Representative Rizzo, you're recognized to explain Amendment 664, barcode 664991.
Thank you, Chair. This amendment removes from the bill the provision that required the additional discretionary 1.5 millage to be part of a school district's operating discretionary millage levy. It authorizes members of a committee formed or designated by the charter school's governing board to attend meetings in person or through the use of communications media technology. It provides that any property utilized by an approved charter school is exempt from ad valorem taxes. It adds that any facility or land owned by a Florida college system institution or university, similar public institutional facilities, and any facility recently used to house a school or a child care center may provide space to charter schools under the pre-existing zoning and land use designations. It also clarifies that a proportionate share of costs per student station of educational impact fees must be shared with a charter school that will mitigate the student station impact of a new residential area. It also provides that a charter school shall not be subject to any land use regulation requiring a change to a local government comprehensive plan or requiring a development order or development permit that would not be required for a public school, traditional public school, in the same location. It also adds a requirement for OPAGA to conduct an analysis of the current methodologies for the distribution of the capital outlay funds and recommend any changes to provide more equitable funding allocations of capital outlay funds for traditional and charter public schools. And that is the amendment, sir.
Thank you, Representative. Members, are there questions on the amendment? Any questions on the amendment? Any appearance cards on the... Oh, I apologize, Representative Valdez, you're recognized.
Chair, just quickly, is this the amendment you're referring to that potentially could help with our infrastructure concerns?
You reckon?
Possibly. In what our discussions were, the previous amendment definitely does, and this one does also. So I would say that both of them actually address your concerns.
Thank you.
Are there any appearance cards? Excuse me. Are there any appearance cards? Chris Moya, Charter Schools USA.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just here for questions, but just to clarify, the gentleman did a great job prior. All we're asking for in this bill is to be treated like a public school. That's all it does. Right now, we've actually tried to open schools on college campuses. There's certainly educational facilities and been told by cities and counties, you can't open, you have to go through the entire zoning process over again. So everything you are considering today is really to make sure that the students of the school, which is really the focus of this, that we as schools and the students themselves are treated as public school students in public schools. And that's all, and I'm here for any answers if you have any. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Moya. Appreciate that. Alice Neera, Florida Foundation for Florida's Future, waves in support. Jeff Branch, Florida League of Cities. Good morning, Jeff. You're recognized.
Good morning, Mr. Chair. Thank you so much. Good morning, members. Jeff Branchett, Florida League of Cities. Wanted to, we don't get to do this often, but publicly thank Rep. Rizzo and also Rep. Valdez, who had a meeting yesterday addressing about 99.9% of our concerns. We have just one technical question that we'll get with him and his staff next week, but want to say thank you so much for reaching the compromise, and it's great when that process happens. Take care of our zoning.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your testimony. Those are all the appearance cards that we have. Is there debate on the amendment? Is there any objection to the amendment? Show the amendment adopted without objection. We're back on the bill as amended. Are there appearance cards on the bill? There are. Christian Kamara, Florida Charter School Alliance. Waves in support, thank you. Alice Niera, Foundation for Florida's Future. Waves in support, thank you. Chris Moya, Charter Schools USA, waves in support. Thank you. Chris Moya got on here twice, but what
do you... The amendment, but we missed it.
Okay. Are you, you, what is this, like an opposition and which...
I'm good. Thank you.
Thank you. Philip Suderman, Americans for Prosperity.
Americans for Prosperity, waves in support.
Thank you. Brita Lincoln, Florida PTA. I'm sorry? Waves in opposition. Christian Kamara is on here twice as well. So, and waves in support. Those are all the appearance cards we have. Members in debate. Any debate? Representative Robinson, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, Representative Rizzo. I find myself, you know, really torn because I am an educator and I upstand and I believe that all of our children deserve a quality education. However, I still find myself somewhat uncomfortable with the Charter Review Commission. I have a major challenge with an entity having control over application and approving something that another entity actually has to oversee and take accountability and responsibility for. And so at this time, I'm not going to be able to support this bill.
In debate, members? There is no more debate. Representative Rizzo, you are recognized to close.
Thank you, Chair. Members, thank you very much for all of the attention, all of the questions, and the opportunity to debate. The choice movement in Florida is real, and it affects children in every single one of the districts and certainly counties that we all represent. Charters is only part of that choice movement. Charters, for example, in Representative Valdez's district, have played a huge role when it comes to providing opportunities for students that otherwise would have to travel very far, long distances, and put a lot of onerous responsibility on the school district itself without that charter provider. We have, in Florida, about 10% of the charter schools in the nation. It is a success story. Charters that cannot operate and function according to statute, close. Not only that, but they're also closing because of choices that parents make. If they cannot provide a good quality education, there are many choices. And I'm talking about traditional public schools as well, because our traditional public schools do a great job. It's time that we really start seeing that all children in a public school system are our responsibilities, and charter schools are a big, big part of that public school responsibility that we all bear. And with that, I close. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Representative Rizzo. Missy, please call the roll.
Representative Zandrotti?
Yes.
Benjamin?
Yes.
Barrero?
Yes.
Bush?
Yes.
Fisher?
Yes.
Maney? Mello?
Yes.
Umfroy? Rizzo?
Yes.
Robinson?
No.
Sabatini?
Yes.
Schoaf?
Yes.
Tuck?
Yes.
Sorry, I didn't hear you.
Yes.
Yes. Valdez?
Yes.
Woodson? Yarborough?
Yes.
Chair McLean?
Yes. Thank you. Members, by your vote, HB 865 will be reported favorably. Congratulations, Representative. Members,
thank
now
you,
we'll move to House Bill 235 by Coach P. Good morning, Coach. You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I appreciate you recognizing me that quickly. Members, Chair and members of this committee, HB 235 revises the requirements relating to the use of mechanical and physical restraints. The bill prohibits who may use mechanical restraints in the exercise of their duties to restrain students in grades 6 through 12 to school resource officers, school safety officers, school guardians, or school security guards, and that is the bill.
Thank you, Representative. Members, other questions on the bill? No questions. There are no amendments. Are there appearance cards? Pamela Fort? Pamela Fort? Waves in support. Breida Lincoln? Waves in support. Thank you. Those are all the appearance cards we have. Members, is there debate? Any debate? Seeing none, Coach P, you're recognized to close.
Wave close.
Thank you. Missy, please call the roll.
Representative Zandrotti?
Yes.
Benjamin?
Yes.
Barrero?
Yes.
Bush?
Yes.
Fisher?
Yes.
Maney? Mello?
Yes.
Umfroy? Rizzo?
Yes.
Robinson?
Yes.
Sabatini?
Yes.
Shove?
Yes.
Tuck?
Yes.
Valdez?
Yes.
Woodson?
Yes.
Yarborough?
Yes.
Chair McLean?
Yes. Members, by your vote, show House Bill 235 reported favorably. Thank you, Coach.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah. Members, now we will move on to PCS for House Bill 443 by Representative Beltran, Interscholastic Activities. Representative Beltran, you're recognized to explain PCS for HB 443.
Thank you, Chairman, and good morning, Committee. PCS for HB 443 authorizes the Department of Education to approve additional athletic associations in Florida. It requires athletic associations applying for approval to meet the same standards as the FHSAA regarding governance, fairness, and player safety. Maintains the FHSAA as the primary athletic association for Florida's public schools, but expressly authorizes schools to join any approved athletic association or to join multiple approved associations by sport, and prohibits any approved athletic association from opposing the application of another approved association's application for affiliate membership with the National Federation of High School Athletic Associations. The PCS adds a few more provisions to the original bill. It authorizes otherwise eligible homeschool and virtual school students to try out for, and if selected, participate in interscholastic and intrascholastic activities at any public school in the district in which they reside. And it clarifies that otherwise eligible private school students may try out for, and if selected, participate in athletics at other private schools that are members of an athletic association. Guarantees that students who transfer out of a public school may complete the school year with the teams that they were participating in prior to the transfer, and requires athletic associations to operate in accordance with a contract with the State Board of Education, and provides for the State Board of Education to review their policies at least once per year. And that is the bill, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Representative Beltran. Members, are there questions on the bill? Representative Valdez, you're recognized.
Thank you very much, Chair. Rep, thank you for bringing this bill forward. I just have a quick question as I heard you speak. Can a district have dual membership?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Chairman. Yes, each school can join under this bill, could join multiple associations by sport. So for example, if there's a sport that FHSAA doesn't offer, they could join another athletic association for that sport or for really any other reason.
You're welcome. Members, questions on the bill? All right, seeing none. There is one amendment. Representative Beltran, you're recognized to explain the amendment PCS for HB 443. A1.
Thank you, Chairman. This amendment restores the ability of homeschool and Florida virtual school students' ability to participate in activities at any school in their district of residence or any school they could attend through controlled open enrollment. And that is the amendment.
Thank you. Members, do you have questions on the amendment? Any appearance cards on the amendment? There are none. Is there a debate on the amendment? Is there any objection to the amendment? Show the amendment adopted without objection. We're back on the bill as amended. Are there appearance cards? There are. Mark Marsala. Sunshine State Athletic Conference. You're recognized, sir.
Thank you. Okay. Good morning. I'd like to thank Chair McLean and the committee for affording us the opportunity to be here. I'd also like to thank our sponsor, Representative Beltran, for sponsoring this bill. My name is Mark Marsala, and I am the Director of Athletic Operations for the Sunshine State Athletic Conference, and we rise in support of House Bill 443. This is my 33rd year of Florida high school athletics. 27 of those years have been spent in athletic administration. I have worked in both the private and public schools during this time. I was an FHSA board member for 8 years. I was the board president of the Florida High School Athletic Association for 2 years. I have also served on the FHSA Section Appeals Committee, the FHSA Representative Assembly. I was also a board member for the Florida Interscholastic Athletic Administrators Association. I was also a district director for the Florida Athletic Coaches Association. I feel my extensive background in Florida high school athletics allows me to confidently state it is time for schools to have athletic choice. When I relocated to Florida in 1989, I was surprised to find out there was only one athletic association. My former state of New York at that time had four associations. I remember telling myself it was only a matter of time that there would be an option for private schools. Well, here we are 33 years later, and still no alternate choice. We allow school choice, academic choice, a choice to homeschool, Florida virtual school. Why not athletic choice? Small private schools need to make the best decision for their schools to achieve competitive balance. The one-size-fits-all model is no longer viable in today's world. We support this bill because it's simply just, you know, about offering a choice for schools where they can participate in athletics. You know, right now you're mandated where you must participate. You know, why would any organization oppose a bill that simply allows a choice of associations to participate by sport? Just like parents and students have the opportunity to make a choice of their educational future, schools need the opportunity to make the choice of what best fits their programs to allow competitive balance. A small private school with 75 students will not have the same athletic needs as a school with 3,000 students. House Bill 443 will simply allow true choice in high school athletics. Florida is one of only a few states in this country and the only one in the Southeast that has only one state association. You know, when we were a smaller state, that may have been great, but you know, we are rapidly growing at an all-time rate right now. High school athletics in our state is growing. As we move into the future, it's time for athletic choice to grow. I think we can agree that more than one association in athletics is needed. Again, with the understanding that any new association will follow the provisions that are in statute for health and safety, as well as eligibility and recruiting. Sunshine State Athletic Conference follows all these currently. We stand before you today in support of House Bill 443 to simply offer a choice in Florida high school athletics. Thank you for your time this morning.
Thank you, sir. Corinne Mixon, Florida High School Athletic Association. You're recognized.
Good morning. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, members. I just wanted to stand. I'm Corinne Mixon, rising on behalf of the Florida High School Athletic Association. I will say my comments are going to be very brief. We're just now really reviewing this PCS to make sure we're wrapping our minds around it. One thing that stuck out to us about the proposed legislation is that it does seem to have different standards that might apply for an onboarding association that is approved by the state. For instance, there are several regulatory bodies that are expressly mentioned in statute, such as the Sports Medicine Advisory Committee. The Board of Directors and the Representative Assembly are all mandated in statute, the composition of those, the regulation of those for the FHSAA. The bill, at least at first blush, and the sponsor and I plan to talk more thoroughly soon, but it doesn't appear to require those same standards. We fear there might be other areas also in the bill where the same standard would not apply to the onboarding association. So certainly we're for choice. So we believe that the statute does offer a good amount of choice. We're open to the idea of what that could look like. However, we do think that any association that joins should have to meet the same standards for health, safety, well-being of the student. We also you'll want to look a little further at the idea of transferring within the school year and being able to play at the school from which you transferred. That is a new concept. So again, just wanted to state on the record that we're looking into what that would look like. And we certainly look forward to working with the sponsor going forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Mixon. Jason Smith, Sunshine State Athletic Conference.
Good morning and thank you. I'd like to thank Chair McClain and the committee for affording us the opportunity to be here. I also want to thank Representative Beltran, who is also my home area representative, for sponsoring this great bill. I'm the Director of Strategic Partnerships for the Sunshine State Athletic Conference, and we rise in support of House Bill 443. The SSAC was formed in 2008 by small schools. We started with seven members who were looking for a level playing field and formed a conference to play some football games. We now have approximately 200 member schools and 12 sports because schools have come to us looking for an alternate place to participate during the season. However, we are still mandated under the same rules and schedules by the monopoly of FHSAA, who gets to dictate all of the rules in the state. We simply do not understand why any organization would oppose a bill that simply gives school a choice of associations to participate in by sport for athletics, as the bill states, stating in statute, to follow all of the requirements that any association would, including FHSAA or ourselves, with health and safety, eligibility, and recruiting. We've also recently been invited by FASMED to be a part of their body and serve on their committees to have input into the process. In 1997, the FHSAA was designated by statute as the only approved association for governing high school athletics in the state of Florida. As I'm sure we'd all agree, and as we've heard with charter schools before us, the educational system in Florida has changed in the last quarter century. And because of the foresight of this body and those before you, education is no longer a one-size-fits-all equation. Just as parents and students in Florida are given an opportunity to truly choose what fits their needs without penalty, we are simply asking that Florida's high schools have a true choice of associations to participate in that doesn't have one association mandate all of the rules. Choice is the answer. I'm very sure that today when we went to get our morning coffee, our only choice was not Starbucks and what they dictated to us. I also am a football coach. I coach at a high school with 165 high school students. We cannot be expected to fit the same mold and governance that's handed down, designated, and designed for large high schools. We simply ask that you allow schools like ours a choice. There is nothing in this bill that mandates a school to choose to leave the FHSAA. They simply have a choice. It simply creates opportunities. Athletics in Florida is no longer a one-size-fits-all situation or solution. We certainly are the only ones, as Mr. Marsala mentioned, that has only one state-mandated high school athletics association. If you were to take a one-day drive anywhere within the state of Florida, all of those states have multiple associations that schools can choose to be a part of. High school athletics has grown and changed exponentially, and we appreciate your vision in bringing this long-needed bill forward in recognition of the simple fact that schools desire and deserve a choice for their athletic programs and needs. It is time for a change. Henry Ford once stated with the Model T, "You can choose any color Model T you want as long as it's black." That is what Florida's high schools are being told right now. You can choose to whatever you want to do to participate in athletics as long as it fits what we dictate from the only mandated state association. We agree that there needs to be more than one state-approved association meeting all requirements within statute for the health, safety, eligibility, and recruiting, and we are well in agreement and look forward to continuing to meet all of those requirements as placed forward in statute. So we stand before you today simply in support of this bill to ask you to allow true choice for associations in Florida high school athletics. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for your comments. Ron Book, Florida High School Athletic Association. Mr. Book, you're recognized.
Excuse me, for the record, Ron Book, representing the FHSAA. Most of you were here last year when I had a chance to speak on a substantially similar bill. And as Ms. Mixon already has told you, we are really just between yesterday afternoon and this morning trying to fully analyze the PCS. But let me say a couple of things. The last speaker must be reading a statute different than the current statute, because the way I read the current law and the way the FHSAA reads the current law, and I would suggest that if any of you go home and talk to your superintendents or talk to your high school athletic directors and simply ask them if they have choice, charters, privates, homeschool, traditional public schools, they will all tell you they have choices. They will all tell you that if there's a sport that isn't currently available to them at their charter, at their private, at their homeschooling opportunity, and as was amended just 4 years ago with an agreement with the Sunshine State Conference, and there's a student station available, they can go and play, period. You have to follow rules. There's a reason that the legislature designated the FHSAA in statute years ago when they did. And to say or to imply that the FHSAA has not made changes to meet, if you will, the changes that this legislature has brought to the people of Florida, whether that be by charter, or that be by homeschool, or that be by virtual school, or otherwise, those choices have been provided for in statute. You heard me say a year ago, and I very much listened to the sponsor's closing last year, and he's right, you can't bind legislature to legislature, in particular on budget issues. He's right, agreements change. But we came to the process several years back where the Sunshine State Conference brought a bill forward that the FHSAA did not agree with and did not like. But with a lot of intervention, with a lot of members that education matters to, that were part of the changes in choice, the FHSAA agreed to every one of the changes that they brought forward, every single one of them, because we moved with the changes in the way the policy was dictated by the legislature to create choice. There's choice today. Do not allow someone to come forth and represent to you something different than what is in existing law, because it's there. It doesn't mean that we cannot provide for additional change. We've worked hard to stop athlete recruiting in Florida. We've stopped doing that. We have said that there are capacity limits in your traditional public schools for a reason. You simply can't overcrowd programs by having individuals come from different areas of a community, and we don't allow that today when people show up at traditional public schools. And again, I would simply suggest, go home. Before you advance the bill, go home. This is another committee meeting. Go home and ask your superintendents, ask your athletic directors, are they happy with the way high school sports are administered today? Are they happy that they have choices? whether they're homeschooled or they're charters or they're privates. Because the FHSAA recognizes that. And I close with one last comment. To stand in front of you and say today that the FHSAA does not recognize other bodies would be a falsehood represented to this committee. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Book. There are no other appearance cards. Members in debate. Vice Chair Schoaf, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And really, I wanted to target this debate to the bill sponsor and ask that in your closing, perhaps, if you'll address it. But knowing Representative Beltran, I bet he was already going to. I heard earlier testimony that this bill would create a different set of standards for health, wellness, and safety. But yet, in reading the bill analysis, it says that it specifically, forces it to comply. So if you could address that in your closing, I would appreciate it.
Anyone else in debate? Seeing none, Representative Beltran, you are recognized to close.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, everyone, for a robust discussion this morning. Just to address Vice Chair Schoaf's remarks, any alternative athletic league is required to follow all of those statutory health and safety laws that we currently have. I think that what the stakeholders were referring to is that there's a sports medicine advisory board for the FHSAA, and that's not duplicated for other leagues. And that's something that somebody brought to my attention yesterday, so we didn't want to address it hastily at this stop. But I am going to look into that and make sure we're doing the right thing to make sure we have the right oversight and the right regulations, or that we're all following the same regulations, or if they're different, that we have a robust mechanism for making sure we have the right health and safety regulations. I was a high school athlete myself, and frankly was injured in high school athletics. So I certainly want to make sure that we're providing for that. The bill does provide the any ability of students to go and play sports at a school that they don't attend for whatever reason is contingent upon space requirements, and also their skill and ability as an athlete to match with the competitiveness of that team. And rightly so, we don't want the schools to be overcrowded, and we certainly don't want students to be outclassed. In fact, that's one of the purposes, as you heard from some of the other stakeholders, to make sure that we can have different levels of competition if it's a smaller school and they don't have the talent pool to field a competitive larger team. So that's certainly important if there's something that we're going to end up with overcrowding or some sort of shopping around different schools, and happy to work with stakeholders on that. And certainly, as I said, want to make sure that we provide for health and safety. And with that, I guess I could just ask one more thing. One of the stakeholders suggested we go and speak to the superintendents of the schools and see what they think, and that's perfectly valid. Go and have those discussions back in your district or call your constituents, but also talk to the student athletes and talk to the parents, because if you have a superintendent in your district, you only have one. Nobody probably has more than one superintendent in their district. And but you got, I guarantee you have a lot of parents and a lot of students, and they want to be able to have more choice for school athletics. And that's, at the end of the day, who we're representing here in Tallahassee. With that, I close.
Thank you, Representative Beltran. Missy, would you please call the roll?
Representative Zandrotti?
Yes.
Benjamin? Barrera?
Yes.
Bush?
Yes.
Fisher? Maney? Mello?
Yes.
Umfroy? Rizzo? Robinson?
No.
Sabatini?
Yes.
Schoaf?
Yes.
Tuck?
Yes.
Valdez?
Yes.
Woodson?
No.
Yarborough?
Yes.
Chair McClain?
Yes. 10 yeas, 3 nays. Members, by your vote, PCS for HB 443 will be reportedly reported favorably. Congratulations.
Thank you.
President Beltran. Members, that is all of the... Oh, I'm sorry. My friend, I apologize. We will move to House Bill 155 by Representative Valdez. Representative Valdez, you were in the very front of the book, but because you had to go present another bill, I inadvertently almost overlooked you, but you recognized to explain your...
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you very much for working with me on today's traffic control, air traffic control here. Again, thank you, Chair McClain and Ranking Member Bush, Vice Chair Schoaf, and good morning, members. This bill is our certificate of completion bill. As many of you know, I've been very passionate about this particular certificate of completion. And currently, if a student has completed the required credit course but fails to pass the required statewide assessment or achieve a 2.0 or even have a half credit missing or a full credit missing, student will be awarded a certificate of completion in lieu of a standard high school diploma. This document looks and feels just like a diploma. Children get to walk across the stage, flip their tassel, and celebrate that they have accomplished the biggest accomplishment that a child can receive is their high school diploma. But it's not worth the prettiness that it is or the paper that is written on. See, that student cannot enter the workforce. That student cannot even enter the military. The student cannot even get a job at McDonald's because even McDonald's requires that you have a standard high school diploma. And by not entering the workforce or continuing their education, because again, they can't even apply for their FAFSA to be able to go into a junior college. It does not provide, right now currently, school boards do not provide a pathway for these students to be able to be successful. And these students are often left behind. This bill requires that the students that are given a certificate of completion be advised and provided a pathway where the district must provide a pathway for these students and giving them options of workforce opportunities and adult education opportunities as well. The bill also provides that a student awarded a certificate of completion is eligible to enroll in some of these workforce education programs that are offered at the school districts through the adult ed or career technical program. This bill also requires that a charter technical career center identify the workforce education programs with a student that has earned a certificate of completion and that they may enroll. Mr. Chairman, this is basically the bill.
Thank you, Representative Valdez. Members, are there questions on the bill? There are no amendments. Are there appearance cards? Alice Nira, Foundation for Florida's Future. Waves in support. Thank you. Edward Briggs, Charter School Leaders, Florida. Waves in support. Carol Bowen, Associate Builders and Contractors. Waves in support. Thank you. Brita Lincoln, Florida PTA. Waves in support. Thank you. Those are all of the appearance cards that we have. Is there any debate? Members in debate? Representative Robinson, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chair. And thank you, Representative Valdez, for your passion about this particular bill. Being an educator for 28 years, this bill is very, very important because every year you do see a group of students that just receive a certificate of completion, and this gives them hope and an opportunity to move forward. So thank you for bringing this bill.
Representative Woodson, in debate.
Thank you, Chair. And thank you, Valdez, again for coming up with this important bill. I know your passion. I know you in tears now because you really want to see this bill pass. But Most of all, we know that this bill would impact so many of our young men and women who really need a way out. And we know that not two kids come from the same situation. We all come from different situations, and this bill would do nothing but helping our young men and women. I'm hoping that you can get this bill to the finish line this year, and I'm asking all my colleagues to support you in making it happen. Thank you. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. In debate. Representative Valdez, you're recognized to close.
Thank you.
Oh, hold on, sorry. Rep. Benjamin. Oh, sorry. Who? Oh, Representative Bush.
Well, I'm just going to echo what...
Ranking Member Bush.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I normally don't try to speak that much, but on this one, I have to. And I also want Representative Valdez to know I had already prepared to present this bill for you had you not gotten back here in time. And but let me just say, as a retired school teacher, now about 13 years as a retired Dade County public school teacher. I've had the opportunity to work with many young people over my political as well as my educational career. And I meet a lot of young people today who's affected by the same ill that you're trying to correct here. And I think that having this bill is going to help us address some of the problems, especially for just children in general, whether it's inner city kids. And I run into a lot of young men and women who did not have a high school diploma, and they got into other kinds of things, and one thing led to another and got into the criminal correctional institution. I believe that this is going to address that criminal element, and it's going to help us now to eradicate some of those problems that we're having, especially in the inner cities. And with that being said, I want to thank you for having the sight, the insight, and the foresight to bring such a bill forward. And with that, thank you, and I'm in support of the bill.
Thank you. In debate, members. Seeing none, Representative Valdez, you are recognized to close.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you to the members for all your kind words. And this particular bill is definitely one that comes close to home. As a previous school board member, I saw children graduate. And as a school board member, you didn't really know what credentials they were walking across the stage with. And you're just assuming that everyone is doing a great job. And then it's not afterwards when the child goes to apply for a technical school or go to their community college or even apply for the FAFSA, which they should have done before then, but, you know, procrastinators, right? And they come back and say, you do not have a standard high school diploma. Those children were crushed because they didn't know, and the families didn't know. So this is an opportunity to hold school boards accountable to ensure that these children do have a pathway. I'll give you an example. In 2018-19 school year, where the FSA was the last time that it was administered, the state of Florida issued 5,660 certificates of completion. So imagine that times 20 years. That's a lot of adults right now that fall into this gap. And I believe that this bill will help our workforce and give an opportunity for our students to see that they can still flourish and prosper, even in a time in which maybe they couldn't achieve a test. And I hope that by keeping them and giving them that option, that those adult ed guidance counselors will be able to help these students navigate and obtain whatever it is that they're missing in order to obtain their standard high school diploma. With that, I close and I ask for your favorable support.
Thank you, Representative Valdez. Missy, please call the roll.
Representative Zandrotti?
Yes.
Benjamin?
Yes.
Marrero?
Yes.
Bush?
Yes.
Fisher? Maney? Mello?
Yes.
Umfroy?
Yes.
Rizzo?
Yes.
Robinson?
Yes.
Sabatini?
Yes.
Schoaf?
Yes.
Tuck?
Yes.
Valdez?
Yes.
Woodson?
Yes.
Yarborough? Yes. Chair McClain?
Yes. 15-0. Members, by your vote, let House Bill 155 be reported favorably. Congratulations, Representative.
Thank you, sir.
Members, there is no other business to come before us this morning. Thank you for your attention to the matters that were, and I think it'd only be fitting that Representative Valdez moves we rise. And with that, we are adjourned.